Wow, that was one hell of a song, man, I'll tell you. And by the way, that's by Andrew Bioke. That's from his newly released album, The Dreamer or The Dream. And you can always check out his album, other songs of his, and I've played a couple, at andrewsongs.com. I'm sure you'll like it. He's very, like, a hip-hop. I didn't play too much, like, a hip-hop, excuse me. He plays more of the old-fashioned rock bands, which, nice classic in there, but he has his new little style that I think is very well appreciated. In fact, this song, in fact, Think Peace, this sort of reminds me sort of like the Buddha thing, we are what we think. And like Buddha had always says, all that we are arises with our thoughts, and with our thoughts, we make the world. And, you know, perhaps one day I'll have him on my show. And while you're at it, I want to elaborate on something. I know I've talked about recently. I felt it was very informative. I put it on one of my blog sites. And by the way, this is Andrew Fetter, When Pigs Fly. This is for all those out there who just clicked on. Of course, you're at When Pigs Fly. Anyway, there's a very important video produced by Vizel Zygust, and it's called Zygust and Denim by Peter Joseph, 2008, and you can check that out, www.zygistmovie, that's Z-E-I-T-G-I-S-T movie.com. And it's also, I posted on my blog site, andrew.myufo.com as well. It's, I think, highly informative. It's in our situation of the monetary system. It will enlighten you and what possibly venues or paths we can choose to take other than the present monetary system, which leads to an extenuated debt. Also, please do check out my past shows. If you have any questions, you can always contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com or contact me, of course, at myspace.com/AndrewFetter. In particular, you can check out the show I've been getting a lot of feedback from, which is on my January 30th show, which is about, and they shall turn their tongues of hate and ignorance and fear into plowshares. Please do check that out. And also, I just want to quickly announce before I have, because I do have a very, very special guest coming on shortly. I want you to all know that I have two extraordinary guests coming up in the near future. I have elaborated it before on March 13th. I'm highly honored to have Sriram Khan and Kira Ra, who are not only one of the two leading figures in the conscious movement, but they're also considered one amongst the foremost authorities on the coming energy shift that's happening in 2012. Of course, there are best-selling books, 2012, You Are Have Choice, 2012 Atlantean Revelations, and their third 2012 Awakening, Choosing Spirituality Over Armageddon, which is highly informed. Of course, like I said, will be on my show on March 13th. And then also, I have confirmed, you probably heard their music many times on my show. I've played Follow Me and, of course, Devil Suitcase, which is going to be played toward the end of this show as well. And it is, of course, I'm talking about Masonic Temple. They will be, of course, from Australia. They will be coming on my show on the 27th. And that's, of course, their two lead members, Shane and Isis, will be on my show. And I'm looking definitely forward to that. And, of course, I'll have no due time. I will notify everyone on my next show in 2 weeks of their specific dates of play. I know they're going to be playing in two clubs in Los Angeles and in Hollywood. I'll let you know all about that. But in due course, I have a gentleman who I feel highly, in fact, I'm very much honored to have on my show. He is very spiritually conscious. I would consider him highly evolved spiritually. He is a UFO researcher, a contactee, and he has been lately in contact, and from the recently, in fact, more than recently, with the, I don't like to use the word alien so much, more like extraterrestrials, the group called, known as the Orions. Pleasant to have Phil Kaseski, and I'm deeply honored to have you on your show. Namaste. How are you doing?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me on.
I just really briefly, I know there are certain aspects I want to talk to you about, your contacts and what are the situation with Orions and where they're from and all that. But could you briefly tell, you know, my audience, briefly my listeners, a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a researcher out here in the Northeast, and somebody gave me a book about all this years ago, maybe 14 years ago. And after I read the book, it's called Silent Invasion. It was written by Ellen Crystal. She was the first real major UFO researcher of the New York Pine Bush area. This is the area in New York where these sightings, these craft have been appearing. After I read that book by Ellen, I took a trip out there with a friend, and we started to see these objects, these same kind of UFOs that Ellen was seeing and having some experiences with. And that was back in 1993, way, way back. And we caught our first video that very first night we went out there. We got an object that popped up just above the trees over some farm fields. And this object was just glowing and pulsating on and off for about 5 or 10 minutes. And we got like a 3 or 4 minute clip of this on video. And we were just really ecstatic when we saw this. But, no, I've been doing research into this. I just started doing this research close to 2 years now.
Wow.
And
sounds pretty destined what you end up, you know, basically everybody's destined, but that's pretty much destined for your path to find out, deal with the situation.
I've been coming to terms with that. I really felt that I've been chosen for this, and in fact the aliens have communicated to me that I have been chosen as an experiment. So everything that's going on with me is really an experiment. They're to see if they can make me a contactee. I mean, to become a real contactee, you know, somebody like that, I mean, that's really having physical contact with extraterrestrials is not a small matter. It's very complicated. There's a lot of issues involved. And there's a protocol that people have to meet in order to become that kind of liaison between the aliens and...
Now we're talking specifically about the Orions, or you've been in contact, or all extraterrestrials?
Basically, all extraterrestrials, real extraterrestrials that are on the Earth, have some kind of protocol that they disseminate or that they teach to those that they consider potential contact material, and it's basically universal. It's like a universal law. It has nothing to do with publicity or anything like that, but it has everything to do with universal law and the state of consciousness of the individuals considered.
And that law is basically, you know, not to jump horses here, but is the conscious level of their vibration. Am I not correct that they have because they're vibrating on a frequency. I don't like to use words more such so higher, but it could when
absolutely
a normal person would not, you know, which I'm going to get into because I believe there's a different originates for our soul, it originates too, so that they when they contact them, then some people won't handle it and you know physiologically won't be able to handle it as well as possibly mentally as well.
Absolutely.
Vibrational levels.
It's a matter of recognition too that they consider because it's a matter of thinking because these aliens, I mean, their thought process is just so far ahead of us. And I mean, just so they're thinking and dwelling on concepts that are just that we haven't even considered yet, and they've been dwelling in these kinds of mental concepts for thousands of years. And we haven't even begun to come into the elementary understanding of those concepts that they're already have been using, such as being telepathic, such as, you know, eliminating a lot of the negative characteristic traits out of the human psyche, like jealousy and all these other kinds of negative states.
And possessiveness and hate and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're now, from my understanding, so everybody out there who we're talking about, I know that you have been directly in contact with the Orions. And can you tell me, like, basically, so people out there in the audience who are not, you know, pretty much well no understanding of what the Orions or who they are.
Sure.
Who are they?
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of, first of all, the Orion constellation is very, very large, and it houses all kinds of different kinds of life forms. So there's everything from the traditional grays that come from Orion's, a few stars from Orion, then there's a reptilian species that comes from Orion. I think they come from Rigel, from what I understand. But the ones that I'm dealing with, the ones that have contacted me, the ones that are here in New York, they are from the belt stars of Orion, and they are humanoid. They look just like us, with some minor variations here and there, like some of their eyes maybe a little more circular, more oval than ours.
Mm-hmm.
But they are basically humanoid, and they look like us. And they were on Earth anciently. They had colonies. They were the ones that they, in fact, this particular race of aliens that are coming from the belt stars have told me that their ancestors were the ones responsible for building the Great Pyramid in the Giza and Sphinx down there in Egypt, over there in Egypt. And this really amazed me. And I subsequently, through some research, came into all kinds of secret knowledge that there exists a huge, huge complex under the Pyramid of Giza that houses all kinds of ancient texts that prove the reality of extraterrestrial life, and it's being kept covered up by those that are in the know because they don't want people to come into this knowledge or understanding because it's going to shake the very foundations of the religious conceptions of the Earth people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's destined to change the fundamental thinking and feeling of Earth people when they come into this kind of knowledge. And that's why they're keeping it covered up, because they don't want people to be empowered. The people that want this covered up, they don't think that we can handle it.
Do you think it's not that we can't handle it, or do they think is it the idea of trying to keep things, you know, keep the game still going, the power game of, and the you know, the circumstances to consist, to continue, or that way they can perpetuate their control with their...
Yeah, that's partly it. I think it's a two-way street, though. I think it's partly that there is a control factor, but there also is a very real security threat when any kind of real extraterrestrial presence and knowledge starts to begin to be disseminated on Earth, because...
It'll break all the foundations of more of the Christian religions, of all of them, but I think it will shake the foundations of humans for what they really are, though.
They're absolutely, that's it. It's not just religion.
Yeah,
I mean, because religion is good because it does give people a certain structure to some extent. And there's in most religions, there are principles which, if followed, will give people balance and a sense of decency.
Right.
Which is good, but, I mean, it's gone too far.
But the clerics have manipulated out of their control. I think their scriptures originally format were in good finding. I just found that a lot of the, you know, the clerics have utilized it for power in a sort of a conspiratorial way to keep the continuation of control.
I agree.
Masses. And so the scriptures themselves are good. It's just as Jesus would say, it was the people who ran the show.
They've misinterpreted. I honestly believe that people have misinterpreted what Jesus and what a lot of people have said, and they've misinterpreted it, and no scriptures of any private interpretation. There's one scripture that says that, so, and, you know, it's, I think one, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament wrote something about the law, that against the law of love, there is no other law. So whatever is done in love and decency and, any kind of respect with others and mutual agreement, is not a sin. It can't be a sin because there's no law against that love, because it's universal. It comes from God, and if it's done, and whatever it is done in decency and respect, and agreement.
Yeah, that Is that sort of, that's probably the division that's happening around the division around the world, that if the Orions or other extraterrestrials were disclosed, or the information about what they had or whatever, even for us technology, that would disintegrate the barriers between people to realize, hey, we're all just Earthlings. We may have be culturally different in different aspects or different circumstances, but physiologically and spiritually, we're all in tune of the same order. And I think that would be, you know, a threat to a lot of people who have that inferior mindset, like what you were talking about, of you know, the negative stuff that's embedded in people's presence.
Right. It's right. It's absolutely. It's in all of us. There's no exceptions at all, because all are, you know, we've inherited this through our DNA down through the ages. And in one sense, you know, the Bible is true, where it talks about that people have fallen away, and it's true. We have been misled on this planet for thousands and thousands of years by dark forces. And I do happen to believe that, especially also a testimony from a certain group of extraterrestrials that have a home base on one of the moons of Jupiter, Ganymede. And this group has contacted some people down in Peru. I think his name is Sixto Paz, but it's a very well-known contactee case. And they have divulged some really incredible material, and they also come from Orion, but they live now on Ganymede, and they also are part and have relations with the same aliens I do. There's a universal cosmic kind of brotherhood between them.
They're like a federation.
Absolutely. And they have testified that, you know, what the prophets in the Old Testament absolutely had contact with extraterrestrials, like Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, Elijah.
Yep. Chariots of fire, wheels,
yeah,
coming down out of the sky, looking like burnished brass, and,
yeah,
and glowing in the sun, and all these kinds of things, looking like a sparkling crystal.
Right, and I think even Jesus was not even, they misinterpret resurrection from him. Really beamed up, but people get freaked out when they hear that.
Oh, I think you're right. You know, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about, especially on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus went up there with Peter and John and James to pray, and his garments, he suddenly became transfigured, and he was glowing, sparkling, like brilliant white lightning. And all of a sudden, it says a cloud came, and a voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved son." And then Moses and Elijah stepped out of this cloud and also appeared, and we're talking with Jesus up there in the mount. So when it talks about a cloud appearing and then a voice coming out of it, and then Moses and Elijah coming out of the cloud,
mm-hmm.
You know, UFOs travel in clouds.
Right, right.
And
visually what we think are clouds, because it's like, you know, they break into, I think, a different kind of matter when they move around. You know?
And I honestly believe that there's a, from what I understand also, there's some contactee cases of Venusians, that there is, the Venusians and some of these high orders of extraterrestrials have constant communion with even beings that are higher than extraterrestrials, like angelic personalities, like traditional angelic angels, like Raphael, Uriel, Michael, some of these angels that are mentioned in the Bible and religious texts.
I think that religious consciousness, like the understanding of God and the angelic realm, is a real. It just, you know, personally, I feel like what's happened in our planet in the last thousands of years, things that they've been involved with that was interpreted as being maybe angelic force was actually more extraterrestrial force, but there was still behind that. They're like advisors, if you want to call it that. Their inspiration of who they've been in contact with would be, you know, the angelic forms, like what you just mentioned, the Gabriel and Raphael.
Yeah, they're pure spirits, but when they come to Earth, these angels take on the forms of men. That's why it is written in the old, I think it's Genesis, it talks about the sons of God saw the daughters of men,
right,
and they came in unto them.
Right.
And they created these new lineages, these hybrid lineages called Nephilim and Rephaim and all these big, they became giants, and these were the beings that actually created these great continents of Atlantis and Lemuria, and then mutually destroyed each other because they weren't supposed to fornicate with women, and because they were already pure beings, and they were not supposed to do that, and so because they did it, they became, it somehow screwed up the genetics. And man, that's why there was these crazy giant races that went berserk on the earth and all these troubles happened. But, you know, there's a lot of things.
But, so let me go back because I'm
tangent.
But, you know, when we talk about, you know, the Orions, how did you come in contact? Because I'm sure people are going, well, wait a second, how did you get in contact? You know, let's go from A, how did you get in contact with them, or how did they contact you, or
sure.
How did this process come about?
All right, well, that happened in 2007 when I returned back. I started going back out to the Pine Bush area. And so I went back out there, and I was hopeful that I'd see some more UFOs, and I started seeing these orange lights. So when I went out there, I started seeing these orange lights on the horizons. And I saw two or three when I went back that particular night, which was a Tuesday, and was in July of 2007. And I saw these pulsing orange lights, and they were just moving at a snail's pace. And very, very slow. And so I started to mentally communicate with them if they were the same types of aliens and UFOs that I had seen earlier, like years earlier when I went out there before. And after I started mentally sending those thoughts out, two of these UFOs took off, and then one of them started coming towards me. And it stopped about maybe a quarter mile away. Stopped in midair, and it just put on a light show after that. I started seeing these lights, this like ring was underneath this craft. It's a triangular shaped craft. And this ring of light was there, and they put on this like light show. And I knew from after seeing that happen, after I sent my thoughts out and then the craft came over and stopped, I knew, confidently that they had heard me, and something had happened, and some kind of understanding happened. But then it was like 3 or 4 days later, after I returned home from that trip, and I was in meditation. I prepared myself and went into deep meditation, and I was just meditating here. And all of a sudden, I started hearing a voice inside me. In my mind, and the voice was introducing itself, telling me that she was one of the pilots that I had seen, that she was the pilot that was in that craft that came over to me and stopped in midair that night, that very night that I was there. And she told me that her name was Avena, and that she wanted me to know that she and her race looked like us with some minor variations. And then she told me that her ancestors were on Earth. They had built the Great Pyramid of Giza and the Sphinx, that whole complex there, and deposited their knowledge and wisdom in there. And it was a lot of it has to do with astronomical knowledge concerning revolutions and concerning cosmic like alignments and things that are going to happen. It has a lot to do with 2012. Anyway, so she had introduced herself to me and let me know about her. And then she told me the reason why this was happening for me was because she told me I had already fairly progressed far enough through meditation and observance of certain cosmic laws that they discerned that I was deserving of closer sightings and contacts from themselves and their ships. And then she made a prediction, and she told me the next time I came back, she was going to be appearing again in her ship, and she was going to be performing these aerial movements in the sky that I could capture on my video. And sure enough, a month later, I went back out, And her ship appeared, and she put on these aerials. She started putting on these aerial shows in the sky, and I got it all on video. And she started zigzagging all around in the sky, doing all these unconventional aerial movements in her triangular craft. She pilots a smaller triangular craft, 35 feet. These triangular craft are the most incredible ships that I've...
Is there like a mothership, and she's just in the one, like, I guess, like, it'd be like the shuttle?
Maybe, yeah.
Like Star Trek, she has the smaller version, you know, where they go out to the exploratory thing or whatever?
Absolutely. A small, like, little reconnaissance craft that she has, it's incredible. And these things can maneuver so fast that, just to give you an example, I had a couple come up and interview me on one of my trips to Pine Bush last September, and they were doing an interview with me in documentary film on my sightings and my contact. His name is Bill Hussong from New York, and anyway, him and his girlfriend came out and they interviewed me. We went out to, he told me previously that he went out for six times to look for the ships, and he saw nothing. And then the very night he went out with me, all the ships came out, and they stayed out for like 2 hours. They just kept appearing all over the horizon, and he was completely astounded at that. And anyway, one of the my Orion contact girl, Athena, she brought her ship in, and she did the most incredible aerial movement I had ever seen to date. And what she did was she stopped, and then she just started zigzagging in the sky. But it was a form of teleportation where the ship was seen simultaneously in two places in a split second at the same time. I don't know how she did this, but these crafts can move in quantum faster than light travel. It was unbelievable, and I have this on video. It's up on those links on those websites. It's called UFO.
I got just one question for you. This is because I just have a feeling what it is. They move in... as opposed to being propelled, they're like being pulled. Like they create their propulsion from front of them, not from behind of them. So they're like, it's almost because it's going. They can create their own wormholes and go through a different spatial, and therefore go beyond the speed of light.
Absolutely. I don't know how it works. I really don't, because I mean, I don't understand all these cosmic laws yet. But
yeah, because I'm just the reason why I'm saying this because you remind me of somebody else I know of that. When you see, like, people seeing them, they go, where did it go? It disappeared. It zigzags. And people, we're still thinking, you know, like, oh, we got to have a propeller in the back or a jet that pushes you along, but they don't realize it's like the old, till we figured out that, you know, people don't realize a plane doesn't fly or sit, it flies not because the wind hits from underneath it. It's because the loss of the pressure from above, and basically that's how they move. They create a space in front of them that's literally sucked ahead, and they've already got...
Yeah, it's kind of like a vacuum. And in fact, when these ships fly over, they sound... A lot of people that see when they come out... the triangular ship would fly over, and it almost... She goes, it sounds like a jet. And I said, I know, it does, but it's also... They use a vacuum principle in these triangular craft. It's a vacuum. It may sound a little similar to like a high-powered jet, but it's not. I've heard the more triangular form. They have a tachyon. Their generators in these craft are tachyons. They're self-replenishing, and their ships are run on some kind of crystalline structure that is self-replenishing. So the energy is constantly self-replenished. They don't need gas, or they don't need any of these kinds of. Well, they do have some kind of hydrodynamical fluids that they use, like mercury probably, and titanium, liquid oxygen, titanium, and hydrogen, and things like this. So it's based on very high physics of, like, hydrodynamics that I don't hardly understand anything about. But I do know enough that they also use a vacuum type of principle with their engines or their generators in the craft. So there's a... When you hear these triangular ships fly over, many times you'll hear a vacuum type of sound. So when you're talking about they create a vacuum, I would highly agree with you that they do create some kind of vacuum. But
When I mean vacuum, it's not like air. It's more like in a quantum physics form of vacuum.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's yeah.
So, but getting off, I don't want to get off.
Yeah, sure.
But when you now you've when you've gotten in contact, I understand that you've been doing like getting basically through meditation at first, and we talked about getting your vibrations up. And but then I know you had mentioned that there's a certain protocol that has to be done in order to facilitate for your ability to be able to mentally, or you want to call it your psyche, to be able to even be near them, even on a physiological situation where you were like 10 feet away.
Absolutely.
What is the protocol that you need to do, or if you're able to disclose that?
Yeah, okay, this is it, and I want to say this emphatically and announce it because it's very, very true, and anybody considering contact with extraterrestrials has to undergo this kind of protocol, and it involves reaching a level near approximate with the aliens' mental vibrations themselves. At least they're feeling vibrations as well, because these beings, in fact, I mean, she told me the whole reason why I was being granted this was because I had already fairly progressed. These were her exact words. I had already fairly progressed far enough through meditation and observance of certain cosmic laws, which, of course, are, you know, the laws that are known universally throughout the universe, such as like Hermes 7, the seven axioms of Hermes or something like that from ancient Egypt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is vibration, the laws of creation, and things like this. Because I had already really paid a lot of attention to this and understood it, she told me that's why they considered me making me a contact material. So I'm really an experiment. They're considering I am a preliminary contactee at the moment. I have seen them. They have.
And there's others like yourself that they've been in contact with, too.
Yeah, but they haven't told me who.
Yeah.
But there's many different alien races that.
No, I'm saying of the same Orions, they've been in contact with many others.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, doing this facility. Well, I think there's a reason why they're facilitating it, but go ahead.
So, yeah,
Sorry.
It's all right. What they're trying to do is they're trying to reveal, because through they're trying to show that what is revealed through contact, what it's all about is basically from the highest to the lowest, from the lowest back to the highest, as above, so below. So what's going on with them, they want, has to happen with us someday. So we have to. We're going to evolve to a state where they are now, and they are going to evolve far beyond that and become gods. And ultimately, the ultimate goal for all of us is to come into all the most complete knowledge that is offered in the universe in this particular galaxy. And we're all supposed to evolve back to the very center of the galaxy. Supposedly, from what I understand from these alien races, there, which is part of the cosmic universal laws, is that all of our spirits first originated in the very center of our galaxy in a massive swirl of eternal light that is part of the central sun that these aliens talk about. Many of these different alien races talk about the very center of our galaxy. There's the most huge body, and it's called the central sun, and it's the actual beginning point of every bit of creation throughout our whole galaxy, and supposedly this is where we all started from, and we all have to return back there and find our way back. And once we do that, we have eternal life. We are given every single piece of knowledge and wisdom that has ever existed, and we evolve for eternity, and we actually become gods. And this is where Jesus and all these masters and the very God of the whole universe exists, right in the center of this central sun. And it's I'm talking about on the inner plane too, but there's also a focal point of the outer part of that central sun as well, which, of course, gives all the heat and sets all the...
But basically, it's basically where people, what they refer to, heading into the light, into the center. And as you're right, your vibrational levels keep on rising higher and higher through healing and your own, and doing, whether it's not just, you're not just talking, I'm not talking just doing, you know, meditating and chants, but also your own actions and thought patterns and stuff.
Exactly. That's more important. Is
ultimately, what you're, I think, personally, is, and people get it, it's the chariot, as they can call it, is the chariot. You get in a chariot, but the thing that makes you go is, it's just one thing, and all the masters, and I think the message is going to come around, is just basically love. Love takes you one direction, hate takes you back to the opposite direction, and that's it. It's real, that simple. And that love vibration will increase to the extent that that's where you'll be heading, like what you're talking to what they call you spin off until you're, that's what, in fact, an old master of mine, before she passed away, she used to call it spinning off, where you go toward your very source. You don't have to recycle your soul into this embodiment over and over again. But jumping on to another thing I really
want
to ask you is, and this is a little bit different. What I think and I feel is that there is, on this planet in particular, the humans or human beings or earthlings, whatever you call them, there's, of their soul, there's a, I believe there's a, there's what they call originate, and where their souls or earth originate or alien originate. I mean, like, it could be Orion from Orion or other extraterrestrials. And there's some people who brought up, and this is, I brought it up in a, actually a past book of mine called When the Angels Have Risen, but it's about alien originate, and where souls are of alien souls who are in present form, who may be in dormantized or put down because they don't know how to deal with them, are actually from, you know, whether Orions or whatever, and they're like a system that's walking around this world right now. You know, you may be talking to somebody around the corner that is, has, alien, originate soul and probably doesn't even know how to deal with it, so they start medicating or whatever, or they come to terms with it and they do something more positive out of it. And I believe those are those who are, whether it's the psychics, the healers, the artisans, the people who speak, you know, the philosophers, the scientists, the Einsteins, the Jesuses, or whatever, are more like of a alien originate, and then tend to the ones that tend to people, the earthlings who tend to want to continue, who are just bound, feel bound to be more on that drone level of being what's told what to do, is more of originate from this
system. Yeah.
And I think there's a split, but I think there's something cataclysmically happening, and I think it's not a coincidence, like you're being contact, for example. I think it's more that you're being reopening those little doors that you already had. And I think there's a lot of people out there that don't really realize that they're already, you know, it's like that vibration. Like, I'll just tell you straight up, like, when you are doing that, I bet you I'm just asking from a straight up level, when you come back down and you're now walking around, did you feel like sort of a little nauseous in a way or not feel physically comfortable in your own embodiment after you had your physiological meeting or spiritual meeting with these Orions? Like, you were more comfortable in their passing, but when you came back to Earth or into the vicinity of more
absolutely.
You had that feeling, the sort of nauseating, not feeling comfortable vibration.
Well, I'll tell you, whenever I come, I have especially a telepathic contact, or when I'm having my intercontact with the ships and I'm filming them, I always, it's on a very deep empathetic level, so I would many times just break down and just weep out of this connection, this very, very powerful love connection that I feel the aliens have with me, and it's powerful, it's love, and like a mother, you know, a mother for its lost child or something. And that's how these aliens look at us, is like they're little siblings, you know, we're little brothers and sisters that need to be trained. And
or have gotten lost on the way.
And they love us so incredibly. And all my contact with the ships, and I've seen them several times, too. I mean, I've seen Abena. She's beamed her.
But how did you feel when you, then after being around them?
Oh, yeah.
And then you're around them, did you feel like sort of like...
I feel out of place.
And so, you get ever like nauseous feeling, like something...
I get a nauseous and a sick feeling the first few times when I would have the I would see the ships up more close and they'd start putting on the anti-gravity drive.
No, I'm talking about the reverse. I'm saying if on the reverse level, like after they're gone, let's say you're around their vibrations, okay?
Yeah.
And then you're walking around people who, everyday people, and then you're all of a sudden, after having your experiences with them, then all of a sudden you feel like, what the hell? I feel like nauseous, or something, that weird, bad, I don't want to call it negative, but just that nauseous feeling.
Undesirable state, yeah.
And you feel all that, but then when you're around them, you feel, oh man, I feel like at home, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about this previous living with them and all this. It's possible. Mm-hmm. I'm not totally 100% convinced also about reincarnation. It may be true or not. I tend to believe more what the Bible teaches about, one life and I'm not really absolutely certain. I think there's some indication in the Bible about
scripture actually talks of reincarnation.
What's that?
Actually the whole entire scriptures, except for the Christian, the New Testament, always talks of reincarnation.
Yeah, I think, like I was going to say, there's some hint. Jesus actually intimated that John the Baptist was Elijah, if the people could receive it.
Yeah.
So I can see maybe for some of the prophets that, they could come back here or something like that.
I'm just saying the original Christians, even Jesus, the original Christians, believed in reincarnation. It's when they, Constantine... Romanized the religion,
right.
And they didn't believe in reincarnation.
Right.
They changed it. I know in Judaism, and Jesus fell with Judaism, it was that you reap what you sow. It's because you're one who creeped it. You're what they call in Hebrew and in Kabbalistic writings, they call it your ta'ut, which is your karma.
Right.
You keep on doing it over and over again. And the same philosophy, identical ideology is found amongst the Native Americans, the Hindus, the Buddhists,
the Egyptians, everybody. I'm very well acquainted with this. I've studied it, and
I know you're talking about reincarnation, but I think that there's we go back and forth, and I think maybe there's a voluntary system where some souls are, because I believe we always voluntary, we choose our own paths, even coming into these embodiments. And perhaps we chose to come in, certain people came into certain embodiments to perform certain acts, and then if they don't choose about that, that's also another choice. But and then if they choose to utilize what they're supposed to be doing, and to not only heal themselves but heal humanity or the souls that are around them, then that's another choice. And that's why I think that's the part of that reincarnation of over and over and over again.
Hmm. Well, I have one problem with that idea. I mean, I'm open to it, but I have one problem with it when it flies into the face of the scriptures about there being a judgment and there being, the coming of Christ again when he's supposed to come back to the planet and all the nations are brought before him and the people that are goats and the people that are sheep are divided. And the ones that are sheep are the ones that, came to understand why Christ came to the planet, which was to express the love of God, the love of the Creator, that it goes to the very depths, the very end and the very depths of the farthest one could go, so much so that it would lay down its life for its enemies.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we have embodied in the picture of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That he loved us so much that he gave his life even when we hated him, even when we didn't want God, we didn't want anything to do with the light. And Christ came to bridge that and bring us back to God. And so understanding reincarnation with that, I think, isn't really what really matters, I think, more than anything. I think here's how I understand reincarnation. I think the basic elemental principle of it is true, that we are supposed to be born again every single day into new understanding, new revelations on how to love, how to get closer to God, how to get closer to one another, how to drop all of the things that divide us. And we're supposed to be progressing in that, I think, every single day in a new way, so we can be born again every single day in new revelation and new understanding. And I think this is the real meaning of reincarnation. Whether people, you know, have been embodying, lifetime after lifetime, I'll leave that up to, I don't understand those deep mysteries. I mean, I'm not going to, run off half-cocked and say it's true or it isn't true, because I just don't really know. I mean, I've done, some regressions and things like this, and, I've studied it very deeply, but I'm not going to be dogmatic about it one way or the other. I'm just going to state that what I understand and what's more important is that we get centered in meditation and God, and we get reconciled to God. And I think that Jesus Christ and what he spoke and what he came to do and what he's taught in the Gospels is very important for every human being on this planet to hear that. And like he said, no man comes back to God except through me, what he came to do.
Yeah, I got just a real quick question, not to get things changed.
Yeah.
If you ever read any of Dao Te Tung?
Absolutely.
And it's stuff that's written almost like 3,000-4,000 years before there was even a Jesus.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Even
poses or any of them. And it's fascinating how a lot of the Eastern, this is another thing, people tend to look at spiritualism only on from the Western side. But if you look at the Eastern side of the planet, they have found that scriptures were so far back and so far ahead that basically while we're being I'm not saying we, but people of the European and the Western were basically Cro-Magnon as far as spiritual consciousness compared to the Eastern understanding of things. It's like amazing. I mean,
I agree with you. No, like Buddha, I mean, I've read a lot of Buddha's writing, Dhammapada, and a lot of his scripture, the Pali Canon.
Yeah,
and I understand
Buddha, the Taoism was written even 1,000 years before Buddha. I mean, that's what blows me when I read.
I know it's very similar to what Christ taught, and I think it's the same. I think Buddha and
I think they're all pretty much
Lao Tzu, whatever his name was. I think they definitely had contact with the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit of God teaches truth.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit of God is not divided.
Yeah.
And so when it speaks truth in one area of the earth, then it resonates, thousands of years later with truth that is spoken by another prophet or a wise man. And, it's just one big mystery. But I think the real main issue is that, the focal point of what's going on, and I just would like to speak about this just before a little bit, is that the people of Israel, the Jews, according to the scriptures, have been chosen by the Creator, who has designated himself the universal mind. He is actually the focus of the Creator of the whole galaxy and his word. And Jesus is his most special representative to come to this earth. So the Jews have been chosen and are the special people of creation, because they, all throughout the Old Testament, through the whole Torah, there's the number 7. Moses revealed 7, the whole laws of creation, or the sevenfold laws of creation are all throughout the whole Torah.
Yeah.
And the Jews lived by those laws. And those sevenfold laws, letting the land lay dormant for 7 years before they plowed it.
Right.
And all these other things, these all factor in to prove that the Jews are the people of creation. They are the holy people, the mighty people, as it's spoken of in the book of Daniel.
Well, that's a whole nother, because I did a whole thing on another show, but not to say that I
No, so what I'm trying to say with all this is that...
Yeah, I just look at them as the barometer of morality in the human soul, and that's a whole different thing. They're like the barometer. I mean, the way people react, people, I always tell them, whatever happens to them, it's just they're the reaction of what, you know, what's the, you know, for every action there's a reaction.
Yeah.
And that's what they are.
But I just wanted to get this out. You know, these those beings from Orion that are now living on Ganymede. I mean, this girl, she contacted this guy from America. His name was Charles Silver. He wrote a book called Date with the Gods. It's all about her contacts with him. And she told him that the mission of Jesus Christ and the people of Israel was absolutely true. And all those prophecies written in, of old are all going to come to pass. She said that she was given a mission by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and their people, and that she was going around. And in fact, I actually saw this extraterrestrial, her and her girlfriend.
So this is what
she visited me, and she sealed my forehead. She said that what I mean by sealing her forehead is that she said that she was given a mission to go around and reveal the truth, the esoteric truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and his mission to the earth. And she said that she was one of the apocalyptic angels that are going around speaking to people that are open and giving a chance to get their forehead sealed. There's going to be 144,000, which is typical of a remnant, that 144,000, a small group of people that are ready, that are open, are going to get their foreheads sealed. And that means they're going to be protected during the apocalyptic times. And she said all these prophecies are going to come to pass. And she said that there's going to be some huge catastrophic astronomical alignments that are going to happen, like Planet X is coming in and it's going to trigger all kinds of things.
Right,
and all these prophecies around Israel, there needs to be a final settling of this old ancient dispute going on between the descendants of Esau and the Jews, which is the Palestinians and the Jews and the land.
Right.
And all the prophecies about the Antichrist, she said, are going to happen. There's going to be this resurrected latter-day Caesar, and this man is going to be possessed with the very forces of hell and the devil, or evil, are going to take control of this man. He's going to raise up this universal monetary system, and everybody's going to have to eventually get a mark, and get chipped in their right hand or their forehead with these marks or these chips, these RFID chips or whatever they are. And they're either going to turn to the Creator and not take that chip, or they're going to be deceived and listen to the lie of this latter-day Caesar. And she said all these things are absolutely true, and not make them untrue.
So what's the deal? Before we close out, so the relationship of 2012, which by the way is the year end, but in the Jewish calendar as well as the Mayan calendar.
Absolutely.
It's actually the same date, but which is pretty weird, but
yeah.
What is happening? So you feel this culmination, or whether it's apocalyptical or enlightenment areas that are going to unfold, that's part of what you're talking about right now, right?
I just got a lot of information about it. In fact, my Orion contacts have revealed that 2012, in fact, the Great Pyramid of Giza was built in alignment with the belt stars of Orion, and according to them and other extraterrestrial sources like the Pleiadians, Semjassi in particular, she stated that in the future there's going to be an alignment with one of the central stars in Orion, and it's going to line up with one of the king shaft, I think it is, in the Great Pyramid. And that solar light from that central star in Orion is going to fall through there. And when that happens, it signifies the ending of time as we know it. And we're entering a new vibration, a new time. We're entering into the solar field of Orion, because Orion was created to be a central governing star for our solar system. And we're actually within the magnetic and vibrational field of Orion, and it's pulling us.
Is that happening on 2012?
Yes. Something is going to happen in 2012. And it was written in the pyramid text in the labyrinth that this was going to happen. And this light from the, in fact, I just, there's a video on, if people go to my website, they'll find this, there's a video. And
why you mention that, so this is because we're running down, is tell them where you get your website and information so they can contact you.
Oh, the links should be right up on your site there. Okay. So I don't have to, that's,
okay.
All the links are right there on your page, on that BBS radio page.
And if any of you want to contact me, and I'll refer you to contact you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, sorry.
So, yeah, in fact, this is the most incredible finding I just found. I have a video up on my site that's called Our Universe, Number 6, Orion. And what it is a telescopic photos. Somebody went into with a deep space telescope, and they magnified it and went in and looked all over the Orion constellation. And I was just looking at this the other night. And this is the most incredible. What it shows is, and right on the belt stars, it shows what looks to be a huge pyramid slightly out of alignment with one of the main belt stars of Orion. And I was absolutely shocked when I saw that. I said, this is prophetic. This is typifying what is supposed to happen in 2012 with the alignment with this belt star with the Orion pyramid. Also what was seen, which is absolutely astonishing to me, was he focused in on what looked like a star in the Orion constellation. When he zoomed in on it, it appeared to be a triangular-shaped object resting on some kind of a space platform. And it looked exactly like the objects that I'm filming in New York, the triangular ships, the exact same ones.
Wow.
So I said, this is incredible. This is like evidence. I really believe that it was one of their ships up there in the belt stars, and they zoomed in on it. And I mean, this guy zoomed in on his telescopic film, and it revealed, it actually showed a space platform and one of the triangular ships, like, resting on it.
Wow.
It looked exactly, if people, it's amazing. It's so amazing to me to see this. But, yeah, 2012 is going to happen, and what that's going to do is it's also going to trigger a pole shift. It's going to be either the beginning of the pole shift. It's either going to be gradual, or it could happen right there, 2012, 2013. It's more likely going to be gradual. But whatever it's going to do after 2012, after all this stuff happens, earthquakes are going to increase exponentially all over the whole planet. They're going to get
the Earth is turning on its axis. It's going to shift all the oceans, the magma, the energy, electromagnetic energy is going to shift.
Absolutely.
Our computers are going to be a total mess after that.
Yeah, there's going to be tidal waves. You know what it talks about in the Book of Revelation that
the biggest catastrophe is that nobody will be able to use their cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, but, hey, Phil, I want to, you know, I can go on, and I really definitely would like to have you on again.
Sure. Thank you so much.
There's so much information I can go on and on of information that I know you're ascertaining here.
Yeah.
It's quite fascinating.
And everything I said, there's nothing really dogmatic about it. I mean, it's open to interpretation. You know, I'm still open to being re-educated about my aliens, about certain things that I said. You know, so I'm not being dogmatic about everything. I just know that when people say, like these aliens from Ganymede said that these things will happen, they obviously know. I mean, they're in a position to know things more than we are.
Right.
You know, they've been ahead of us for, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah. But I think there's... take more credence that there's a lot of more things happening that just starting to unfold and people are becoming awakening. Because I think that we all have actually the knowledge. It just, when we go outside and it's like somebody opens their heads up and go, I remember that. Well, we already have that knowledge, and it's just remembering the knowledge that we have had. And that's, I think,
yep,
that's what they call the awakening. And I think that's what the Orions and other, enlightened, extraterrestrials are trying to unfold for humanity to hopefully work its way through and hopefully take the easy course of walking through the path of love, and that'll extend us into the correct area or correct destiny. But Phil, I want to really, really thank you for coming on my show. It's been highly enlightening here. I mean, I definitely would love to have you back on And everybody out there who are listening, I want to thank you for listening, and future listeners. And do contact me if you have any future questions, and I will have Phil Kosetsky's, all his links. He has, and I also even put some of his YouTube things on my own blog site, andrew.myufo.com. But do check them out. Again, Phil, thank you very much for coming on the show, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Yep.